Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron, whose future is in jeopardy, figuratively and maybe even literally. Could that future be closer than we think? Meanwhile, the fourth pick in the draft is up for sale. We'll tell you which team needs to go get it right now and why. Plus, Pittsburgh has a huge question at quarterback. We'll tell you why the answer is sitting right in front of their face. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now. On a Wednesday from New York, I am Greeny. Thank you for getting up with us. We are jam-packed as we veer in on the draft, and we've got exactly the right crew of people to talk about it this morning with us in the NFL. Dan Graziano's got the stories. Marcus Spears is ready to go. Joey Galloway is going to run about a 4.340 before this thing is over. Let's get to business. And we start with the Atlanta Falcons, who seem to be open for business. The number four pick in the draft seems to be available for sale right now to the highest bidder if the price is right. Adam Schefter tweeting that yesterday, quote, with teams locked into the first three overall picks, the Atlanta Falcons now have received trade calls from multiple teams and are open to moving out of the number four spot per source. This makes sense in one very interesting way as I bring the crew into the conversation. Dan Graziano, why is everyone have their attention on number four right now?
Well, because we know the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. We know the identities of the first two, and if, you know, if there's clarity on who the 49ers are going to pick at three, then interested teams, if you're, let's say, Justin Fields and Trey Lance are left over, if you want one of those guys, you may have to move up to get him. So Atlanta's pick becomes valuable. They just saw the pick right in front of them get traded for three first rounders and a third rounder. They want to know what their pick is worth, and if it's a deal like that or something close to it, they have to consider moving out. Now, Atlanta has a number of ways they can go. They have Matt Ryan. He's 36 years old. They could stay put and take their quarterback of the future. But if the guy they want is not there and the guys that are left over are exciting to other teams that want to move up to that four spot, absolutely Atlanta could make that pick available.
It makes sense, if only because it's the highest pick you can get right now. So, Marcus, I'm looking at the Broncos at number 9. I'm looking at the Patriots at number 15. I'm looking at the Bears all the way down at number 20. Give me the team that should be on the phone with Atlanta demanding that pick right now.
You've named three of them, but the fourth I would add is the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know their quarterback situation. They had to go through extreme lengths to get Big Ben back on this roster. And I don't think it's because they wanted to. I think it's because it's really the only sure thing that they could bet on with this football team with so much that they have to build out in this roster. So that's the one team I'll be interested to see if it's any movement, G. They're leaving an era behind with Ben Roethlisberger, and they know that they need to find the future of this franchise. I know they brought in Dwayne Haskins, wants to see how he pans out, but based on what has transpired with him thus far in his career, I could see Pittsburgh trying to make a move to get up and take either a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance at that fourth spot.
Yeah, it will be fascinating to watch because the price on that will be exorbitant. It's one thing for Denver to try and get up there from 9. The Steelers' first pick is at 24. They'd have to move all the way up there. Meanwhile, Joey, you spend the football season generally covering all the college games and all the college teams for us. So if what we have been led to believe is true and Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones are the first three picks in this draft, that leaves two quarterbacks. Who are you going up to get? Are you going up to get Lance or are you going up to get Fields?
I think Fields is a difference maker, but honestly, if I'm Atlanta, I'm standing and I'm taking Kyle Pitts. As I've watched college football season long, Kyle Pitts has been a guy that you don't see many of him anywhere in football, whether it's NFL or college football. He's a difference maker. And if you're Atlanta, you could literally have two Julio Jones on your offense running around. Kyle Pitts is that good at his size and the way he moves. He plays tight end, but he plays like a receiver, moves like a receiver. I would stay right at number four and take Kyle Pitts.
Just watch those highlights, everybody, if you haven't seen Kyle Pitts, and just imagine that he's Travis Kelce, because he might just as well be. That's the role he will play on some team's offense. So, Graziano, it's an interesting question. Is the value at four this year these skill position players, because there's Pitts and there's Jamar Chase, the receiver from LSU. There's an outstanding, like a generational offensive tackle in Penei Sewell. Do you believe ultimately the value at four, however, remains in the quarterback, that someone's coming up there because they want to get one of the quarterbacks?
Right. That's where if the price is exorbitant, like to the point where Atlanta can't refuse it. It has to be for a quarterback. I mean, you talk about Pittsburgh coming up from 24. That's a 20-spot jump. The Niners only went up 9 spots, and you see what it cost them. So if you're Atlanta and you're going to move down that far, you've got to get a lot to make it worth your while. So, yeah, I think if you're talking about a team that would move up to draft Kyle Pitts, you're talking about maybe somebody who's right behind Atlanta, right? Maybe Cincinnati wants to move up 1 spot because they're afraid somebody else might jump in front of them, that kind of thing. And that's a smaller deal. That would be Atlanta saying, we don't want Pitts, we don't want a quarterback, we're willing to move back a spot or two and get something extra. But if you're talking about a big deal, like the 49ers made, then yes, it would have to be for a quarterback.
And the one team that never does this, Marcus, as you well know, is New England. Bill Belichick doesn't draft quarterbacks in the first round, much less move up for them. He generally trades back. Could you see Bill coming up here? Patriots currently sitting at 15. Could you see Bill coming up here to get a quarterback at 4?
Absolutely. Did you see what he did in free agency? This is a get fixed now for Bill Parcells. So if that opportunity, Bill Belichick, if that opportunity presents itself and he can find a way to get up there to get his quarterback of the future, we're bringing in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and trying to recreate this offense for Josh McDaniels, you damn right he going to do it and figure out a way to get it done.
All right, so that's where it starts. It starts with the quarterbacks of the future. Now let's talk about the great quarterback of the present, and that is Aaron Rodgers, who's making headlines this week as the host of Jeopardy, as we continue to speculate about his future in Green Bay. And he's contributing to that as well. He's on Pat McAfee's show earlier this week, and in case you missed it, he had a lot to say.
You know, I think that we're exactly where we were last year when I made comments after the draft and throughout the season. You know, I don't feel like any of that's changed. All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired. But ultimately, you know, things haven't really changed on that front. My future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like a phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain which directions that things are going to go.
That was fascinating to hear him say he thinks his future is out of his control. Yesterday, Adam Schefter was on this program here on Get Up, and he had these thoughts on Aaron Rodgers' future.
If Aaron Rodgers drank truth serum and had his choice, he would move on to another place that hadn't traded up to get a quarterback in the first round.
Okay, so that's where we sort of begin this. Joey Galloway, I'm looking right at you. You're a terrific receiver in your career. You played on a lot of different teams. Let's be kind. You played with a lot of quarterbacks, and none of them was as good as Aaron Rodgers. So if you look at the way the Green Bay Packers are doing their business here with one eye very much on their future as much as it is on the present, and seemingly willing to let it go year to year with a guy as good as Aaron Rodgers, what do you think of that way of doing business?
Aaron Rodgers is, you know, back when I played, we would study films, and it would be broken down into, say, throws over 20 yards, throws over 30 yards, and Aaron Rodgers would be like 70% of the balls thrown that we would be studying. He's that good. He's that outstanding. I cringe when I hear people compare any college quarterback to Aaron Rodgers, because he is that good that there's not many of him around. There won't be many of him around. And so when his future in Green Bay is in any question, or anybody says anything that involves him leaving Green Bay, that's disappointing to me. He should be treated as one of those guys that comes around every so often. He's that good. The things he does on the field, not many guys can do.
I get it. And Marcus, I'm perplexed by this one, because you've got the Packers. They've had great success doing things their way, the Packer way, which is they look to their future, and they've won a lot of games. But then, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking down at Tampa, and I'm looking at a team in the Buccaneers that says, you know what, 5 years from now, we might be the worst team in the sport, but we're going to do everything we can to win this championship right now. And if I'm Rodgers, that's what I want. Marcus, what do you think?
No doubt, G. You got it nailed on the head. I like you use the word perplexed, because I didn't know Joey Galloway won 3 Wimbledons, just like I didn't know Aaron Rodgers did not have the ability to get out of Green Bay if he said the word. So, listen, this is... Check out his background if you missed the joke. Listen, this is a part of the, this is a part of the NFL, man, where I just don't understand, because Aaron Rodgers, to me, right, as a former player when I was playing against him and looking at him now, I don't understand Aaron Rodgers not having power to go into that front office and say, this is what I need you to do, or let me go somewhere else. I like, he's one of the few guys that has that kind of cachet. He's put enough film out there. He's done enough to reach elite status at the quarterback spot to be able to go and make his demands heard. Now, he keeps talking about we're in the same spot we've been in and all of that. I get it, and I understand. Ultimately, that organization is going to make the decisions that they make. But I find it very difficult to believe that if Aaron Rodgers expressed this publicly and expressed this privately and put pressure on Green Bay as far as rosters, that they wouldn't make it happen.
I mean, that's the way it would seem to make sense. But Dan Graziano, and I saw it in your notes last night, the Packers have a way of doing business and they just don't deviate from that.
They don't. Look, and they're going to continue to do that. They have restructured contracts this offseason to save cap room. They haven't done that with Aaron Rodgers' contract, which, as he knows and pointed out to Pat McAfee, leaves the situation unchanged from last year when they took Jordan Love in the first round. You're absolutely right, Greeny, to describe this as a year-to-year situation. They need to see what Jordan Love shows from a developmental standpoint. They need to see how Aaron Rodgers plays and how the season goes. But yes, the Packers will... The Packers are going to Packer. I mean, this is how they operate. And frankly, over the last 20 years, only New England has played in more postseason games, and only New England and Pittsburgh have won more postseason games. The Packers feel fully justified in sticking to their plan. The fact of the matter is, it works.
Yeah, it works. But in those 20 years, they've won one Super Bowl. Go ahead, Marcus.
What? Gross, they've had Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, like... That's why they've been in this
conversation.
And they
had Brett Favre before
Aaron Rodgers. That's why I'm talking about his juice and his ability to go in and say what the hell he wants to happen. Like, I get it. I understand. You say the Packers operate how they operate. That is truth based on how we've seen them operate. So if you have a generational talent at quarterback, if a Super Bowl is the ultimate goal, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, Aaron Rodgers can get you there, and he's asking for more pieces or something to help him and give him more assurance that they can do it, and you wouldn't make that move, that's just crazy to me. I get it, Graz, and I'm not arguing with you on that point, but when you have a generational quarterback in a window that just played at the very highest level you can play in the NFL, I think he should have some juice about what he needs in order for y'all to get over the hump.
If you're not arguing with him, I'd love to hear what it sounds like when you are arguing. Let me hold that thought one second. We will come back to that. And we will get to the bottom of what is behind Joey Galloway, too. But as we continue next, Pittsburgh has a huge question at quarterback. We'll tell you why the answer to that question might be right in front of their face. Plus, have the 49ers already made a decision at number 3? And if so, is it the biggest mistake we've seen in years? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and that's a live picture of Bryson DeChambeau on the driving range at Augusta National, getting set to go after his first green jacket. Remember, our coverage of the first two rounds of the Masters tomorrow and Friday on ESPN. Meanwhile, it's time for a little game of You Make the Call. Here we go. Joey Galloway, if you're making the pick, 49ers at three, Mac Jones or Justin Fields, who you got?
I like Justin Fields. I've had a chance to see this young man grow a couple years ago when he stepped foot on the campus at Ohio State after transferring from Georgia. To see this young man come in and develop into a leader, develop into the player he is, and take control of this football team, make it his team, and find the success that they've had the past two seasons. I know this young man is a playmaker and a difference maker, but he is a terrific leader I'd love to have on my team.
Swagoo, you're next up. If you're the Bengals at five, you taking Ja'Marr Chase, the receiver, or Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle?
Hard to not take Chase, but I'm taking Penei Sewell because last time I saw Joe Burrow, he had a season-ending injury. And we talked about that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. This is the catalyst. This can be the anchor to what you're trying to build in Cincinnati. Don't mess it up. Keep the franchise clean. Keep him upright. Keep him healthy. You'll have a chance to win and compete in your division and potentially win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with that one wholeheartedly. Meanwhile, Joey, let's go to you on some playmakers. Dolphins at six. Kyle Pitts and Devontae Smith are there. Which one are you taking?
I'm taking Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts would be my answer to a lot of questions for a lot of teams in this draft outside of the teams that need a quarterback. Now, if I'm Atlanta, I'm taking him at number four. But let's just say they don't, and he is sitting there at number six. There's not many Kyle Pitts running around anywhere on planet Earth. So if I had a chance, I'm going after Kyle Pitts.
Okay, and then Swagoo, back to you. The Panthers at eight. If Sewell is there and the quarterback Justin Fields are both there, which one are you taking?
I'm taking Justin Fields. Listen, I just believe this kid is going to turn out to be a tremendous quarterback in this league. And I can't believe we even talking about him being at eight, but this is where we are. And I know what happened. I know what transpired with Sam Darnold, but Matt Rhule and Joe Brady can operate from a position of strength with a strong quarterback room and a young guy that could potentially be great.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum said the same thing yesterday. And to be clear, Marcus is a fan of the Darnold trade. After this broke the other day, Swagoo right here on Twitter, Sam Darnold about to be the next Ryan Tannehill. Book it. Joe Brady, who's the offensive coordinator, about to show y'all what you do with raw talent and elite passing ability. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be shocked. So there's a lot there to unpack. Let's start, first off, just with the trade itself. Marcus, I didn't have you here yesterday. What was your – we just saw a taste of it there. Give me your reaction to the trade and what you expect from Darnold now with a fresh start in Carolina.
Man, I was so excited for Sam Darnold. Listen, G, you know I've been on this show talking about how inept Adam Gase has been as a head coach. And to bring a rookie into that situation – And ask him to operate and raise the level of where that team was, I think it should be a finable offense. And the fact that he gets to go to Carolina after what we saw Joe Brady do with Joe Burrow at LSU, but before that, being in New Orleans with Sean Payton and watching quarterback play at the highest possible level it can be played at, to put him in Carolina with Matt Rhule and Tepper, who's an owner that has given Matt Rhule the type of contract where he can take these chances and develop guys over time. I was just ecstatic for Sam Darnold. And I think finally we'll have a chance to properly evaluate if he can turn out to be the guy that I think he can be. And I think that's a top level talent at quarterback.
I'm with that. And so, Joey, again, you would have covered Darnold in college and seen what he's done through the pros here, and now they may have some options to make here. How do you see it? How do you see the fit of Darnold and his potential there in Carolina relative to the possibility that maybe a quarterback falls there and they take one?
I think it's a great move for Sam Darnold. Sometimes you're in a place where things just aren't working out, and it doesn't matter how much talent you have. I think a lot of times when we look at talent in the NFL, your success depends upon the pieces around you, the way you interact with your coaching staff, what they're good at versus what you're good at. And so anytime you have a young quarterback that is as talented as Sam Darnold, that is in a situation like he was at the Jets when things aren't quite working out the way they should, it's great to get to a new place, get a new scene, a new coaching staff, new teammates, something to start fresh with, to go in and be the Sam Darnold that got drafted high that everyone thought was a terrific talent. Now he gets a chance to go in and start over.
Yeah, so Graziano, let's live in that world for a moment, that Justin Fields does fall to 8 and Carolina sitting there. Yesterday, Mike Tannenbaum on this show said if that happens, they should take Justin Fields. And I yelled and screamed at him. Now, Marcus just said the same thing. I'm a lot more comfortable yelling at Tannenbaum than I am at Marcus for a lot of obvious reasons. But Dan, what do you think? What is your sense? If Fields is sitting there at 8, the Panthers just made this trade, would they take the quarterback?
And I'm assuming you're very comfortable yelling at me if we follow the logic there. But I think the thing to understand about Carolina is they came into this offseason intent on elevating the ceiling for them at the quarterback position. They had high hopes. They were talking about Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, those kinds of deals that just don't seem to be on the table at this point. So they go to Darnold. So, yes, if Fields is sitting there at 8 and they believe Justin Fields is a better long-term play for them than Sam Darnold, then yes, I believe they would consider it and possibly even take him. I just don't know exactly how the Carolina Panthers feel about Justin Fields, but yes, if they have him rated ahead of Sam Darnold and he's there at 8, I would not rule that out at all.
My goodness. I mean, we just pointed out that Darnold is a guy who's third pick in the draft and never got a break with the Jets. Now, if he shows up in Carolina and they take another quarterback in the top 10, let's see how that thing plays out. Meanwhile, speaking of quarterback needs, Pittsburgh is our next stop. They have a huge question at the position. We'll tell you why the answer might be sitting right in front of their face. And speaking of trying to answer questions, it's time for Sneaky Hembo versus Graziano. Mike Tomlin has posted 14 consecutive non-losing seasons to begin his career. That's tied for the longest streak of all time. Who's he tied with? That's the question. The answer is next, and it's a tough one. Get up on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and here we go, Graziano. It's a tough one. I will tell you right now in the break, I didn't get this. Mike Tomlin has 14 consecutive non-losing seasons to begin his career, tied for the longest ever. Who's he tied with?
Yeah, I don't know the answer. It's tough. Not a lot of guys have even coached that long. And a lot of these guys have losing seasons early on. Takes them a little while to get the program going. So I'm not entirely – my guess was Joe Gibbs, but it's just a guess. It's all I got.
It's not a bad guess. My guess was Don Shula. He was second. Marty Schottenheimer is the sneaky answer. It's a fair question, but
that
it's
a sneaky answer.
So that one – all right, Hembo got some high heat past Graziano on that one. A tip of the cap. And this thing's getting close. Go to the scoreboard. Graziano's lead over Hembo on the year is down to just 4 questions. Let's see where they go next. Meanwhile, we're going to Pittsburgh next. A busy Steelers offseason began when less than a week after the Super Bowl, their longtime center Marquise Pouncey announced his retirement after 11 seasons, all of them in Pittsburgh. Then it continued into mid-March. Juju Smith-Schuster, something of a surprise, announced an agreement to re-sign with the team, just the third receiver in the modern era to sign a second contract with the Steelers, joining Hines Ward and Antonio Brown. Meantime, the team continues to clear salary cap space with the restructuring of Ben Roethlisberger's contract. Adam Schefter yesterday here on Get Up talking about Pittsburgh's future beyond Big Ben.
Well, it's interesting, again, the Dwayne Haskins point. Low risk move, high upside. If they can bring it out of Dwayne Haskins, great. Then that's a big bonus for that organization. I don't know if they're counting on it, but if they can do it, maybe that is the answer. But I still think you have to be looking for another quarterback here in this draft.
In this draft, which is a fascinating way to look at the situation here. And Graziano, let me talk to you here and bring you in on that thought. The Steelers pick at 24. Marcus brought up the idea that maybe they try and trade all the way up to get one of the five big quarterbacks in this draft. That feels unlikely considering their history. So what is more likely for the Steelers as they contemplate their future?
Well, I think they do feel like they have to get a quarterback in this draft, as Adam said. Do you take one at 24 and reach for a guy that might be more of a second or third round pick? That also feels unlikely because, as we've discussed with Pittsburgh, all their salary cap issues, all their roster construction issues, they're going to need some production out of their early round rookies this year if they're going to contend. So I think it's probably more likely they take someone who can help them this year, whether it's an offensive lineman at that spot, and then look for quarterback maybe in the second or third round if one of these second tier guys is there for them. So they go into this draft knowing they have to address quarterback, but I don't think they're in a position where they can mortgage everything to trade up for one of the big guys or necessarily spend that 24th overall pick on a guy for whom it might be a reach.
That's fair. And so then, Marcus Spears, let me come to you on that thought. I'm here to tell you, and we do have Matt Miller. Excellent. We were having some technical difficulties getting our outstanding new draft insider, Matt Miller, with us. So I will actually aim this first question here at you, Matt, and welcome. Thanks for getting up here. If we all agree that the Steelers need to address their long-term quarterback situation, seems there's a minimum of four quarterbacks who will be on the board, we would expect, in two rounds, two and three, that have a lot of NFL teams interested, in no particular order: Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, Kellen Mond, and Jamie Newman. Do you see one of those potentially as a fit for the Steelers sometime Friday, rounds two or three?
Yeah, Greeny, thanks for having me on again today. I do think that Kyle Trask, the name you mentioned first, is an intriguing quarterback. Let's go back throughout the college football season. Kyle Trask was a Heisman candidate. He was one of the most productive quarterbacks in college football. We talked so much about Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney. Kyle Trask was the guy getting them the football, so the accuracy is there. All he needs is a clean pocket to operate from, as we're seeing here against teams like Alabama. He's battle-tested in the SEC. He's a player who split time as a high school quarterback, so we know that he's battled some adversity. He's overcome things. I'm a believer in Kyle Trask. Now, I think the big question for the Pittsburgh Steelers, does he make it to pick number 55 overall? Because they're not the only team that's looking at this tier two group saying, hey, we got to get one of those quarterbacks this year.
Well, quickly, because I have you here, do you expect one of those names I just mentioned to actually sneak in at the end of Thursday night, the back end of round one, whether it's him? I have Mel Kiper telling me keep an eye on Davis Mills from Stanford, that some team sneaks in and takes him. Do you think we see a sixth quarterback at the end of round one?
It would be a surprise, but I don't think any of us would fall out of our chairs if it happened because of the fifth-year contract option. So if it is Kyle Trask, who I know the New Orleans Saints have, there have been rumors that the Saints like him a lot, the Steelers at pick number 24. Now, you'd probably want to trade back a little bit. But let's remember, Lamar Jackson was pick 32 after the Baltimore Ravens traded back into that round. That worked out pretty well for them. So it wouldn't, I don't think, be a shock. And another team to keep your eye on, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady might play those 50. I don't know. But Tampa might want to start thinking about quarterback of the future. Kyle Trask would very, very much fit what Bruce Arians and Brian Leftwich are doing there at quarterback.
Marcus, your thoughts. Kyle Trask, maybe a late first-round pick.
I like it. I think I've thought about this and exactly what Matt is saying, and I want to put something else on that. Guys, Dan Mullen quarterbacks have had success in the NFL.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you go back and look at the guys that he's coached, these guys have a great understanding of playing on this level. It's not a coincidence that Dak Prescott was taken in the fourth round, and when it was time for him to play, he was ready to play. I've seen the development. Alex Smith going all the way back. So I think Kyle Trask will have some cachet because of that fact. And then, too, playing at Florida, he had Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts. And, yeah, in some regards down the stretch of the season, he had some off games. But for the most part, Kyle Trask put together an elite season, like these guys that we've talked about being taken in the first five picks. It'll be interesting to see what Pittsburgh does, especially knowing that they need some offensive line help.
A reminder, he was a Heisman finalist, so he had that kind of season. Meanwhile, Matt, while I have you, let's do some comps for some of the other quarterbacks. Let's go to the top of the draft or closer to it. Mac Jones, we expect him to go three at this point. Give me a best case and a worst case for him.
Yeah, Mac Jones, you watch his play in the pocket, the way that he's rooted there, the ability to throw the deep ball. Best case, Matt Ryan. I think we're probably going to see him connected with someone Matt Ryan had a lot of success with, Kyle Shanahan, at the quarterback position. But Greeny, on the other side, there's a worst case, and that has to be discussed with these guys. Mitch Trubisky, like Mac Jones, a bit of a one-year wonder, 17 starts in college, and a player who maybe won't get better at the next level. Let's just keep going here with these, because I know you love these cops. Trey Lance, best case scenario, look at him move. I see some Dak Prescott here with a good, not great arm, the ability to play down the field, can hit the middle of the field, but also can keep plays alive. He moves to throw. He doesn't always move to run. Now, worst case scenario, Sam Darnold, who I'm sorry to bring this up today after he got traded yesterday, but Sam Darnold, a player who maybe the game needs to speed up for you a little bit. We want to see better accuracy to all levels of the field to play at the next level. And then Justin Fields. I love Justin Fields. He's my number two quarterback in this class. I've been on here talking him up. Justin Herbert, I think, is the best case. Someone who comes in who's been over-evaluated. We've got some prospect fatigue, but he's still a great quarterback. He can make all the throws, make all the plays, put him in a good offensive system. He's going to blow up. Worst case, I want Carson Wentz here. We might see some turnovers in the NFL from Justin Fields. We've seen him hold the ball in the pocket too long, but I still think he's going to be tremendous when he gets there.
Yes, and if someone's going to say your worst case is a $100 million contract, things could be far worse than that. But I'll remind everyone, so this is McShay's latest mock draft. It came out last week, and again, there you see Justin Fields, the fifth of the five quarterbacks. So let me bring the guys back in here, Matt, and I will start with you because you make your living every single day in this draft stuff. Everyone comes on the show, everyone, and says what you just said, which is, well, I've got Justin Fields second of all the quarterbacks, but I love Justin Fields, but Mel says that, McShay says that, Brett, every single one of you guys comes on and says that. So why is Justin Fields the fifth quarterback in a class in which everyone comes on the show and says he's the second best player?
We're all trying to figure that out, Greeny. We really are. There's nothing to his game. When you talk about Justin Fields to scouts or to Mel and Todd, it's, well, he's great arm, maybe the strongest arm of anyone in this class. Great athleticism, a great leader. Go back to over the summer, the Let Us Play, the Black Lives Matter movement. Justin Fields was leading that cause. It wasn't someone that made him do it. He said, hey, I want to play, even though at the time he was neck and neck with Trevor Lawrence as the top quarterback in the country. So I can't find a reason. One thing that I have heard from people, they say, oh, it's not a pro-style quarterback. I don't even know what that means anymore when we have Sean McVay in Jared Goff's helmet until the clock runs down, telling him what the read is. So what is pro style when you're running RPOs? Justin Fields is running the same kind of offense, really, that Mac Jones is, that Trevor Lawrence is. So I think there's a lot of laziness. I think there's a lot of prospect fatigue because people have known who Justin Fields is for 4 to 5 years now.
Marcus, go.
Overthinking. Listen, this is Deshaun Watson 2017. Let's be honest. Like, to Matt's point, we overthinking everything. Watch the damn film. And look, here's the part that really makes me so angry about this. Justin Fields is in a tier with every other quarterback where we're saying potential, traits, all of these things that they need to improve upon to become great quarterbacks. I'm drafting that. I'm drafting Justin Fields, who ran 4-4, who went to Ohio State, left Georgia, went to Ohio State, had success, had his team in the national championship, played with crushed ribs, beat a Clemson team with the number one quarterback, who's the next greatest thing since sliced bread, that Jacksonville is going to take number one. All of these things transpire right in front of our face. And we 3.5 weeks outside of the draft, and Justin Fields all of a sudden can't play damn quarterback. I don't understand it. I'm with Matt. It's over-evaluation. I think people are putting a lot of stock into what Ohio State quarterbacks have done before him. But we can go down a long list of schools that had good quarterbacks in college that didn't pan out in the NFL and eventually found them one. It is crazy to me. And I promise y'all this, as long as we're talking about this draft and as long as Justin Fields' names keep coming up, I'm going to go crazy. Every single time he's not mentioned as being a top five pick in this draft. He may not be. I may be wasting my breath, but I'm going to do it all over these damn ESPN airways.
And look, I'm right there with you. Joey Galloway, again, you're there in Columbus. You see it day in and day out. Why has he fallen like this?
Who is Spears yelling at?
He's yelling at the world.
Everybody's agreeing. And so,
but everyone's not agreeing, Joey, because everyone who projects these things says he's going to go fifth. He fell behind Trey Lance and Mac Jones and Zach Wilson.
See, here's what's interesting about that concept, Greeny and Spears and everybody that's talking about this. He's falling behind with people that don't have a draft pick. Mm. We're not picking anybody. And so when we start to talk about falling down draft boards, the NFL doesn't have a draft board. It isn't like these teams have come out and slotted themselves and said, hey, we liked Justin Fields a month ago, but now we don't. So we have to put it in context. He's falling down the draft boards of people who have put a draft board together and then gone out and collected information from NFL teams. And now they're starting to put information into their draft board. So you can scream and holler and yell all you want. It is not like the Atlanta Falcons or the Dolphins started with a draft board and then said, man, Justin Fields can't play football. We've watched Justin Fields. We know he's successful. And so as we look at these quarterbacks, there are some very talented quarterbacks in this group. And all it takes is one team to like you. It doesn't have to be the entire league. It doesn't have to be everybody on this show. It takes one team to like Justin Fields or Mac Jones, whoever else is in this draft, Trevor Lawrence. If that team likes you, they pick you. It's as simple as that. The draft boards, as much as we make of them, don't actually matter.
It's fair. The perception will be that he fell if he winds up going fifth amongst all these guys. I understand the point you're trying to make. Let me leave it there for a second. We're coming back to it, I promise. And we have to get to the bottom of those plates behind you. Meanwhile, however, I will mention that Get Up is brought to you by Wendy's, a proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Awards. And this year's Men's Player of the Year was Iowa's Luca Garza. He averaged just over 24 points and nearly 9 boards a game, projected to be a second-round pick in the ESPN latest NBA mock draft. Congratulations, Luca Garza from Iowa, this year's John R. Wooden Award winner. All right, coming up, Lamar Jackson's newest weapon had some very pointed comments about how to fix the Baltimore passing attack. We'll get to the bottom of that and more next. Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back on Get Up, and there's Phil Mickelson looking to get back in the winner's circle at Augusta. He's got three jackets in his closet. He's on the driving range. And another reminder that our first-round coverage of the Masters on ESPN begins tomorrow. We'll go live there in just a moment. But I wanted to do one thing before we let Joey go. Joey Galloway's been with us for this hour here on ESPN, and he's been terrific. But I'd like to ask Cindy, our director, could we take a full shot of Joey? I have to get to the bottom of this once and for all. Joey, those three plates behind you, they do look like something someone hands you at center court at Wimbledon as you acknowledge the royal box. What exactly are those plates behind you?
I have three sons, and each plate represents each kid with their name, their height, their weight, all those kind of things. So it kind of was like winning Wimbledon. It was about the same thing when they were born.
So, Marcus, leave it to him to be something we can't make fun of at all, right? There's no fun to be had in those being named after his kids. Bro.
I was hoping it was from some race he betted somebody on, and they betted to get a plate each time they won a race because he always running somewhere. But since it's about his sons, and I know as a father, don't nothing make you prouder than that. There'll be no jokes about Joey's plates.
Correct.
There are his sons' Wimbledon plates.
I appreciate that.
Nothing funny. So since we allotted 60 seconds for this and we didn't need it, very quickly, Joey, I feel like you just told us you believe Justin Fields will go earlier than everyone else says. In case we don't talk to you for the next 3 weeks, is that on record? Do you believe Justin Fields goes before – he will not be the fifth quarterback, whatever order they go in, you believe he will go higher than fifth amongst the quarterbacks?
I do. I truly do. I think he's that talented. I think he deserves to be. And I think whoever gets Justin Fields is going to be extremely excited about him for a very long time.
Okay. I hope that you are right. We will see if you are right once again.
So guess what, G?
Our best to your sons. Outstanding plates. Thank you very much for a terrific hour. We have more football coming up as we continue this morning. But right now, we are going live to Augusta, where the big man on campus, literally, is Bryson DeChambeau, who has added a new club. Look how hard he swings. He's added a new club to his bag ahead of this week's Masters. It's a driver that adjusts to 4.5 degrees, which would provide the longest hitter in the world with even more distance. His last showing at the Masters was less than spectacular. Remember, that was in November, and he really struggled there. He's still looking for a top 20 finish at Augusta for the first time. This will be his fifth appearance there. And let's bring in the man who knows all. The one and only Andy North is with us, two-time U.S. Open champion. Top of the morning, Andy. Let's talk about DeChambeau. He's got this driver in the bag. He swings out of his shoes on every swing. Does that translate? What chance do you give him of putting a green jacket on by the end of this week?
Well, first of all, Greeny, if you swung at it that hard, you'd have body pieces laying on the ground. But yeah, he's, you know, the key to hit is not driving the ball. I mean, we know he drives it a mile. He drove it a mile here last November when we played here. He had wedges to par fives. I mean, incredible stuff. The key to Bryson DeChambeau winning the Masters is on the greens. He has never putted very well here. He has not made many putts over 10 feet here. And this is a golf course that no matter how well you drive the ball, approach shots are so important, and then you've got to get it in the hole. And he's got to putt better if he thinks he can win.
He's one of the big stories coming into this event. Jordan Spieth is another, coming off of his first win in pretty much 4 years last week in San Antonio. He is a Masters champion. How do you like his chances this weekend?
Well, I think what Jordan did last week, especially in the back nine on Sunday, was really special. He hit a lot of really quality shots. He had to make birdies to keep the lead. He has played some really, really good golf over the last 3 months, but he had not finished very well on Sundays. He was in position to win a few times and didn't finish. He finished this last Sunday. It gives him an awful lot of confidence. And let's face it, this is a golf course that he plays exceptionally well. He loves coming here. His short game fits this golf course beautifully. And he's got more confidence right now than we've probably seen in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, he won the Masters going away with a score that at the time was record-setting. And the following year, he had a great chance to back it up. And then we all saw the disaster that happened to him on 12. So to your point, he does play this course extremely well. Is he your pick this weekend? Who do you favor to win this weekend at Augusta?
Man, I think there's an open field of 5 or 6 guys. I really do love Justin Thomas. I think what he did at the Players, he's a player that you look at his record here, he's gotten better and finished in a better position every single year he's played. He's figured out how to play the golf course. And I think bottom line, he's really grown up as a player over the last 2 or 3 years. His short game is fantastic. And as we know, that's so important here.
Yeah, I think even your buddy Van Pelt picked him instead of Xander Schauffele, who I think he has picked every other year since I've been following you guys. He's got Justin Thomas this week. And enjoy it down there. Have an egg salad sandwich for me. I wish that I was with you guys again this year. Have fun, Andy. The great Andy North with us.
You got a greenie.
Live appreciate from Augusta. And again, our coverage tomorrow and Friday, 3 Eastern on ESPN. Exclusive first and second round coverage of the Masters. And once again, ESPN Plus has featured hole and featured group coverage all 4 rounds. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. All right, coming up, Aaron Rodgers, his future is in jeopardy, figuratively, maybe even literally. Could that future be closer than we think in Green Bay? That's next. Get up on ESPN.